Support for the Something Wild podcast comes from you, our listeners, and from the New Hampshire Department of Agriculture. New Hampshire's farms and farmers markets are full of fresh goods rich with agricultural heritage and available all year long. You can locate local farmers markets, farm stands, and fairs near you using the directories at visitnh.gov/agriculture.
Hi, time again for Something Wild. I'm Dave Anderson from the Forest Society.
And I'm Chris Martin from New Hampshire Audubon. This week, we're going to explore another of New Hampshire's wild neighborhoods.
This is when we take a closer look at one of the more than 200 natural communities you can find within the confines of our state's borders.
Communities like the Alpine Zone.
Or my favorite, Red Oak Black Birch Wooded Talus. But those are pretty rare.
Right. And today, we're heading to one of the most common ecological landscapes in the world.
The coastal sand dune is found at nearly all latitudes, from just outside the polar regions all the way to the equator.
But there are only a few places in the Granite State where you'll find them. And it shouldn't come as any surprise that they're along our seacoast.
Hey, I knew that. I also could have told you that they're made of sand.
Well done. But there are some particular set of circumstances that are required for sand dunes to form.
So, sand, right?
Right. Sand and silt, some of which is made from eroded rocks further inland and carried to the sea.
Via mountain streams that feed into ever larger waterways till they reach the mighty Piscataqua and Merrimack Rivers, where the water suddenly slows.
And sand settles out. And from there, the tides and the winds wash and blow all those individual grains of sand back ashore. And gradually those grains accumulate around debris.
Like driftwood or a plant or something.
Vegetation that survives on sand dunes has adapted to thrive on shifting sand.
Yeah, many of them use rhizomes to anchor and spread.
We've talked about rhizomes before, right?
Yeah, they're the underground elements of the plant.
Like roots?
Well, a bit like roots, but rhizomes are actually more a part of the stem of the plant. And in the case of some of our dune vegetation, like beach grass, rhizomes grow horizontally, sending sprouts of grass up through the sand to capture sunlight and sending roots down.
To collect water and nutrients.
Right, and rhizomes also allow plants to move water and nutrients from one part of the plant to another that may need more of those resources.
So do all the plants you find on the beach use that strategy?
Well, no, not all. But many do. And beach grass survives on the foredune where few other species do, largely because of this strategy.
So foredune is one of three zones in your typical sand dune, and the part closest to the ocean. It's exposed to the tides and often to punishing winds.
And as I mentioned, it's mostly beach grass. But when you move into the interdune and the back dune, you'll find more species diversity.
Because as you move further from the water's edge, you're better protected from incessant tides and the dehydrating effects of the wind.
So you start to see low-growing shrubs like hairy Hudsonia in the interdune with its yellow flowers.
Which brings us to the back dune, where you find what?
Well, that's where you start to see woody vegetation like beach plum.
With those nice pink flowers.
And of course, the deep purple berries that give the bush its name.
The birds that call this place home are fair-weathered feathered friends, species like the least sandpiper, who use the dunes as a stopover during migration, feeding on ant beetles and other insects in the dunes.
And of course there are gulls and terns.
Of course, but you'll also see the federally threatened piping plover, which lays its eggs on the foredune, the most exposed part of the dune.
Wow, those little tiny birds?
That's right.
But they don't stick around in the winter.
No, they don't. But there are some birds that you'll find only around the dunes in the winter, like snowy owl. They spend the summers breeding in the Arctic, but when winter pushes some of them south, they'll seek out habitat that most closely resembles the tundra.
Well, what are they feeding on?
Mostly mice and voles.
Are there any other northern bird species that winter around here?
Sure there are. You'll find small flocks of horned larks and snow buntings feeding on whatever seeds they can find until they can return to their Arctic breeding grounds.
The coastal sand dune is a vibrant wild neighborhood, and if that weren't enough, it's also part of the first line of defense against increasingly severe storm surges.
Coastal dunes and wetlands absorb the brunt of a storm's energy when it makes landfall, reducing the impact on both wild and human neighborhoods further inland. In other words, coastal dunes are really cool. For Something Wild, I'm Chris Martin.
And I'm Dave Anderson. Our producer is Andrew Perella.
Something Wild is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and NHPR.
Dedicated listener Joanne Harden of Rye has included NHPR in her will and trust. It may not be the biggest trust, but I want to be able to pay back what I feel I've received so the people coming after me will be able to enjoy that.
Leaving a gift to NHPR is an inspired way to support an organization that has enriched your life and that of others in your community. To learn more about including NHPR in your estate plans, go to nhpr.giftplans.org.